I'm preaching from 1 Kings 14, and also the parallel on this one is 2 Chronicles 12. What I'm preaching on is your calling to live out your faith authentically, all right? And that's going to be the big deal this morning. It's walking in God's Word as a matter of true belief, not as a cultural thing, not for show, but the reality. The reality of the true faith walk is actually focusing on God. Not really what you're doing, but focusing on the one behind what you're doing, which should not be you. It should be God. And it's living the relationship that He's made with you. You can think of it that way. And so it's doing what He wants as a matter of a relationship, a love relationship. So it's more than an appearance. It's not wanting to be seen coming across to others a certain way. It's not play-acting spirituality. There are too many people in this world play-acting spirituality. I think we might know of some of them. A spirit of deception leads the world in sin and in lostness and a script of lies. And the evil one, the devil, particularly likes getting lost people involved in activity that looks and feels religious. And something like this can even happen with Christians, true children of God. Don't be surprised to find play-acting in respect to spirituality coming in unique packages among Christians, among God's children. And the temptation to do it is even in front of you. And so like any temptation, it can surprise you. And now God does not want you getting into play-acting spirituality. He wants authentic faith manifested in living life and humble recognition of God as manifesting the life of Christ Jesus. That's the life. He gave it to us in salvation. And He wants you to know that in it, you are saved by grace, you're held by grace every moment, and you're forgiven by grace. You got to know that as a foundation. And authentic spirituality humbly relies completely on Christ now and forever. Completely relies on Him. Now, in all this, there's a particular reason for play-acting spirituality I want to lay out. It's a form of manipulation to get things. It's spiritual play-acting as a tactic to satisfy fleshly desires. And I'm going to cover all of this. So prepare your heart for this sermon. Don't play-act spirituality to get things. Let's pray. Well, Lord, pretty strong words to be looked into this morning. I'm asked that You build us up and that we would examine everything according to Your Word, examine our hearts, and not be judgmental concerning others, but be discerning concerning ourselves, live in wisdom, and live out the love in authentic spirituality. That's what I'm asking in Christ's name, amen. Now, in our Old Covenant illustration of enduring principles, Israel went through this inner turmoil since the people begged God for a king instead of being ruled by God, just turmoil. And the turmoil was seen in King Saul, and then in David, then Solomon, and it continued. Now the kingdom's divided, and Judah was ruled by Rehoboam in the south, the rest of Israel was ruled by Jeroboam in the north. And before this, King Solomon had begun compromising with idolatry through the many pagan wives that he had. And Solomon misused his gifts from God to accomplish selfish, foolish, sinful goals. Solomon built hundreds of pagan temples. And if he would have applied wisdom in authentic faith, operating as a lover of truth concerning the one true God, loving God alone, his life would have been triumphant. And so I want to get to a sense in which we can relate to Solomon, that we can relate to him. He's a lesson about the fact that we all mess up. Remember, he's the wisest guy that had ever lived, still messed up. And so you know that you're selfish at times. And you know that you sin at times. And so this is why 1 John 2:1 says, your continuous advocate for forgiveness when you sin is Jesus. And also, you know, serious faith is to follow the Lord and acknowledge Him. Serious faith knows you've done wrong when you do. So, I mean, think about this with yourself. Have you ever wondered why sin feels good, but when you sin, you're not left satisfied with your sin? Well, it's because though you sin, you know, in your imperfection, your spiritual salvation is perfect. It's not play acting. That's why when you look around at dishonesty, like is going rampant in the world right now to try to steal things, like, for example, an election, you wonder, how can these people be satisfied with what they're doing? Well, we're not satisfied with sin. Sin feels good for the moment. It's fun for a season, but the season's over after a while. And so as you and as me, as Christians, as we live the reality, Faith in the one true God is shown not in our being perfect. Don't ever go thinking that you can go that route. Faith in one true God is shown in getting back on track and seeking God while you're forgiven, looking to Him through the mistakes and the sin, trying to make adjustments, trying to learn the lessons of life that He's teaching you. That's how it works. And so when you truly know God, your heart gets confronted by His Holy Spirit concerning your sin. And at the same time, you know that you have an authentic relationship, and it's not pretend. Because, and this is the reason, you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Okay? You rely on His forgiveness of all your sin. And being confronted by His Spirit, you understand you need to get back on track when you get off track. So, your saving relationship is there. That's what you are. You are saved. Salvation is by grace through faith with all the forgiveness that comes with it. And you know that you need that lifeline every single moment. I know I do, and that's because it's authentic. We are real Christians. And the best way to put that is this relationship that we know and understand and experience and are in, this relationship is not play acting. The real deal is to be relying on God's grace. The same goes for obedience to Him from love. Now, I've worded that particularly in a certain way because it's very important. Obedience from love. Obeying God because you love Him. That is not a play act. It's real because you're not trying to work to get something out of Him. And since loving God makes it authentic, you find that you want a more flawless obedience in your life. You want that. You desire that. You hope for it. Now remember, you're not perfect, but you want that perfection. Why? Because you love Him. That's the reason. Not because you're trying to earn His favor. It's because you love Him. And so please listen more carefully for a moment. Very important. I'm pointing out what is missing in the temptations to play act spirituality. It's missing the love motivation to serve the Lord. Amen. So follow what I'm saying. It's doing religious activity like it's an investment to selfishly enrich your life. Now, it's easy to do. I mean, it really is. It's easy to do that with love for self as the motivation. You follow what I'm saying? And people who do this think the valuable payback money is their works. They think their works are like, you know, kingdom money. So they act out a script. And they're doing it to impress God with this kind of blockbuster performance to rake in the personal profits. But here's what the Father wants. And He's the Father. He wants you to serve Him for one reason only. Out of one reason only. So it's for one reason, out of one reason only. Love. Love. He wants more than acting like you love Him. He wants love to guide you. Now, another problem with play acting is that it spreads. I mean, sometimes a form of godliness just hangs on, but it's only a form. Using the analogy of the cinematic illustration again, thinking of maybe making a movie, all right? You know, making a movie, you got different producers and there's directors, and they can make movies based on the same script. You might even see a certain movie with the same title coming out like every 10 years. My wife likes to watch these British novel films about, you know, Pride and Prejudice and stuff like that. Well, you know, there's like every 5 or 6 years, another version of it comes out. Same movie. And here's the thing. They can use different actors. And when the actors follow the lines, they may add their own talent twist to some scenes. But here's the point. They're all using the same script. So they're essentially acting out the same template. And there are families where the grandparents or the parents were Christians. And so everyone's been raised learning a way to be. Do you know what I'm talking about? A way to be, which kind of resembles the spiritual reality of true salvation. It's a script. Some of the children live kind of copying what their parents believed. We see that actually happening as an analogy in our nation. From the founding of our nation to now, the people now just kind of live a copy. But with the spiritual reality, the fakeness is religiousness that they're copying. It's a kind of a moral sense that they're copying, but it's just a template. It's a shadow of the real. They're play-acting a part they learned as a family trait. Now, part that's missing is the authentic manifestation of the life of the Savior, the life of Jesus, the love, that family trait. Okay, are you following what I'm saying? Very important, the love aspect that I'm talking about here. So this would happen with Israelites in the Old Covenant over and over again. Today we see it too. I've seen it spread in church-going families. Now, the parents go to church because they think that that particular activity, that's the big standard for spirituality. All right? This particular type of person, but they're play-acting. And so you can see their act reflected in their children's lives. Play-acting is honed by life lessons. And, I mean, people can grow up, they look like Christians, they can pray, they can do all these things, but they were never saved. So as disobedience grows from the top down, the play-acting role is set for the next generation to follow with its own twist. That is, unless there's a true change of heart. And so the picture analogy we get in the Old Covenant life of the kings is that King Rehoboam, Solomon's son, continued play-acting as the one meant to lead Israel in honor, worship, and obedience to the one true God. And the act was exposed by allowing false gods to be revered in Israel. So God called another man, Jeroboam, to be king. God allowed Rehoboam to have a piece of the kingdom to fulfill the promise to David. And so there's that double kingdom. You have Rehoboam in Jerusalem, you got Jeroboam in northern territories. But after Jeroboam had been entrusted with godliness as God's life script for his role as king, he decided to improvise. He did the same sinful thing as Solomon and Rehoboam, but worse. He made two golden calves. He told Israel, look, here's your gods. They brought up you up from the land of Egypt. He actually said that. Playing around like that's more than a game. It's a deadly suicide mission. So God sent a prophet to prophesy against Jeroboam. And God confronted Jeroboam. And the prophet explained that God was going to destroy the evil that Jeroboam started, including eliminate his family. Jeroboam got angry. He stretched out his hand against the prophet. But Jeroboam's hand withered. All of a sudden, Jeroboam got serious with the one true God who had gotten serious with him. And so Jeroboam asked the prophet, he said, pray to Yahweh, your God, to restore my hand. But Jeroboam's play acting was being exposed. Jeroboam was not caring about Yahweh, about loving God. Jeroboam still worshiped his gold cows. And so that area I'm wanting us to pay special attention to is there. Jeroboam did not want the prophet to pray to Yahweh for him out of Jeroboam's love for God. Are you following what's going on here? Jeroboam wanted religious activity from the prophet as an investment for his own life to selfishly be healed. He just tried to have the guy seized, but now he's withered hand. That's all he wanted was to be healed. So remember the wisdom lesson in all this on not play-acting spirituality to get things. But nevertheless, the prophet prayed for Jeroboam, and in God's grace, Jeroboam's hand was healed, and God had given a sign to Jeroboam to kick him off the stage. That was what was going on, but Jeroboam continued to play act like he respected and he worshiped and he honored the one true God. But in reality, he didn't turn from his evil idolatry. No, the next thing that happened was he felt the results. His son got sick, and so Jeroboam did not want to follow God in love, but he did what manipulators and pretenders do. So follow the lessons here. He started playing more games with God to try to get what he wanted. Now remember, this is what the sermon's about. God wants love. He wants love. He doesn't want attempts at manipulation. God had already told unrepentant Jeroboam the consequences. So this was a time for Jeroboam to get serious on God's terms, not play around with destiny on his own terms. But Jeroboam told his wife to disguise herself so nobody would recognize her. And he told her, you need to go to Shiloh to see the prophet Ahijah. Now remember, Ahijah is the one who originally told Jeroboam that he was going to be king over the 10 tribes. That God's the one, the real God. Yahweh's the one that made him the king. And look at his state now, this idolatrous man and his son sick. So he disguises his wife, sends him off to this true prophet of God because he wants something, see? So Jeroboam's wife goes to Shiloh. The prophet Ahijah was there, but he had bad eyesight. But the Lord told Ahijah, Jeroboam's wife is coming about her sick son. And this is a deal with prophets, see? They know things because God tells them, because they love God. And they serve God because they love him. They just do what they do because they love him. And God told him, when she arrives, she'll be play-acting. And so as she was getting to his house, Ahijah heard her footsteps. He immediately confronted her about play-acting to try to get things when it comes to the Lord. Now, things would have been different if what? If Jeroboam would have repented of his idolatry. Things would have been different if Jeroboam would have gotten rid of the idols, had, you know, gone to the prophet himself, no disguise, just humble, exposed. It's all out there. I'm an open book. And explained that he'd gotten rid of the idols, and that now he's leading God's people to follow the one and only true God. But that's not what happened. Only play acting. So Ahijah said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam." That must have shocked her. "Why do you pretend to be another woman?" Oh, wow. Could you imagine? "God has given me a harsh message concerning you," he said. He said, "Go tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord." And then Ahijah proceeded to say that it was God who had given the kingdom to Jeroboam originally. And he said this, "You, Jeroboam, have done more evil than those before you. You have gone and made for yourself other gods to provoke me to anger, have cast me behind your back. Therefore, I am bringing calamity on the house of Jeroboam. I will make a clean sweep of the house of Jeroboam as one sweeps away dung until it's all gone. Anyone belonging to Jeroboam who dies in the city, the dogs will eat, and he who dies in the field, the birds will eat, for Yahweh has spoken it." Wow. So here's the thing. People may play act spirituality to get things, but since it's pretend, God does not honor it. So Ahijah told Jeroboam's wife, "Go home." And he said, "When your feet enter the city, the child's going to die." So it's simple. If they're going to pretend like God was important just because they wanted something their other fake gods could not give them, then the only one and true God was going to show them that he's always important, meaning that they're going to get what their own play-acting hands brought upon themselves. See? You don't manipulate God. You don't play-act. It's all about love. God gave Jeroboam according to Jeroboam's true heart actions, which he was an idolater. He hated God. That's what the scripture says. I had more to say. "Moreover, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who will cut off the house of Jeroboam. The Lord will strike Israel because they made their pagan shrines, provoking Yahweh to anger. He will give up Israel on the account of the sins of Jeroboam, which he committed and with which he made Israel to sin." So when Jeroboam's wife got home, as she was entering her house, it says the child died. And this is only the beginning of all the tragedy that happened to Jeroboam and Israel for acting like Yahweh was just another god among gods to be treated like a genie. That's not love for the one true God of the universe that created everybody and everything, gave us the privilege to live. And I mean, if you have to boil down the consequences to one word they brought upon themselves, it'd be trouble. Play-acting true spirituality with God, you know, you're trying to manipulate him to get things, that only leads to trouble. Well, at the same time, Solomon's son Rehoboam, reigning down in Judah, was involved in the same horrible things. Idolatry and play-acting with God. And 2 Chronicles says Judah forsook the law of Yahweh. That was his kingdom over Judah. It says they were unfaithful to Yahweh. 1 Kings 14 says they provoked God to jealousy more than all their fathers had done with the sins which they committed against him. And Rehoboam was leading them in it. Says they built places for pagan worship and sacred pillars and shrines to false gods. Says there were also male cult prostitutes who did according to all the abominations of the pagans. Well, they were supposed to be the people of God, loving God, but they're acting out the reality of their unfaithful hearts. So God ordained for Shishak, the Pharaoh of Egypt, to go up against Jerusalem with 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen. 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horsemen. It says the rest of the Egyptian foot soldiers were so numerous they couldn't be counted. That's how many there were. Couldn't number them. Well, Shishak captured the cities of Judah, and he started marching. He goes up to Jerusalem, where Rehoboam was and in his palace. And then the prophet Shemaiah came to Rehoboam and the leaders of Judah who had gathered at Jerusalem because of Shishak's advancing army. Now, their play-acting wasn't helping them now. But because of the play acting, things got serious for them to show how serious it had always been to God. And this is the way it always works. The prophet Shemaiah said, "Thus says the Lord, you have forsaken me, so I also have forsaken you," to Shishak. And then we read that it says this, "So the leaders in Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, 'The Lord is righteous.'" Remember the scripture that was brought to us this morning from Chan? Being humble is so important. Question is, were they play acting? And anytime that question is asked of anything in respect to the Lord, we know one thing for sure. God knows the real deal, right? He knows. God knows when you're being prideful before him with your life. He knows when you're being humble concerning your sin. He knows when you go to him from love to love. He knows what the motives are. Well, God knew the people of Judah were not play acting. So when they truly humbled themselves, worshiping God with the truth, saying, "The Lord is righteous," the word of the Lord came to the prophet Shemaiah saying this, "They have humbled themselves, so I will not destroy them. I will grant them some measure of deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by means of Shishak. But they will become his slaves to learn the difference between my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries." Well, since they were God's people, yet had been play-acting in respect to their love for the Lord, God decided to show them what serving him means by showing the reality of play-acting's consequence. So the Lord ordained for Pharaoh to come up and overwhelm Jerusalem. Egypt then just pillaged all the treasures and all the riches of Jerusalem, everything that Solomon had stored up over all that time. And it says they took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's palace. And it says they took everything, including all the shields of gold Solomon had made. He had all these shields made out of solid gold. They're famous. And so now, being taught a lesson of chastisement, which was actually a grace lesson, 2 Chronicles says, "When Rehoboam humbled himself," do you hear that? "The anger of the Lord turned away from him so as not to destroy him completely." And that in God's grace, it says this, "Conditions were good in Judah." Conditions were good in Judah. Well, it's amazing. But the exact opposite of play acting to get things is what really got the things that Rehoboam wanted. Good conditions. The things God always wanted for his people anyway. And so let's always remember that connection of being humble in all of this. Blessing came when Rehoboam humbled himself, and the people all did before God in recognition of the reality of God's will and purpose in his relationship with his people. This is what we need to do. We need to be humble. Even as we intercede for this nation, we need to just be humble before God. There's no room for pride. There is nothing. Open, straightforward. We've not been good stewards. And in our own lives, we can identify play acting in respect to spirituality. The best way to identify it is by looking for the source. And so are you trying to get people, think of it this way, to notice you, respect you for your so-called spirituality? And this is just your own personal self looking into your own self, okay? Are you trying to get God to respect your acts so that you can get things? Well, if the answer is yes, it's not difficult to figure out the difference between authentic spiritual pursuits out of just love for God on one hand and play-acting, manipulative, self-oriented pursuits on the other. When you serve God out of love and humbleness without looking for respect or being noticed, you're not left with emptiness. The lie of the devil says that's just empty. That's a lie. You're not left with that. Far from it. You are left with your living relationship with the love of God, and it's pure. You're left with simply doing what the Bible says because it's what God wants. Does that make sense? You decide to do what God wants because you love God, whether you get anything out of it or not. You're wanting God to get everything. It's a love motivation for him, not you. You're already rescued. You're already saved. And so the best way to describe it is that your life is worship and adoration. That's what it is. But if you're trying to display spirituality like a trophy to get respect, or you're trying to impress the Lord to get noticed, you know, for like trade tokens, then you can discern life as love worship is not what is going on. But God wants you to do the life as love worship. And so you see what play acting is. And I can't follow you around everywhere. Pastor Kerry can't be there. I don't know all the details of your life. But here's the thing. You do. You do. You have God's word. You're getting it. You know whether you're play acting or not, right? And manipulation motivations become very clear when you humbly look for them. Look for them. You know, I've seen Christians go on and on about what they've done for the Lord. But when it's God glorifying, I mean, it's just people wanting to show what God's doing, okay? Bragging about God is worship. That's different. So it could be sharing what happens in ministry because supporters need to know, or people just need to know. Those are good reasons, but that's because bolstering self is not there. I mean, it could be sharing because you want to see God glorified in the provisions in your life. You might be sharing things. That's just love worshiping Him with your testimony of Him, what He's done in your life. Being humble is the route that God always wants you to keep at the forefront in everything. So think about even like when you pray. Like when you pray with others, if you pray aloud. A lot of people don't like to pray aloud. But if you pray aloud, just speak normal, respectful words to God. Don't try to impress others who are listening. When it comes to praise and worship, when worshiping the Lord publicly with words and music and so forth, just think about adoring Him, and you show it, right? David danced before the Lord, but what mattered was that David did it out of love. Because this is where I have been really trying to get us to be thinking about in this whole sermon, is from love to love, the love motivation. Just bringing it down to love for God. You know, that's why He saved you, because He loved you. You think He got a really great benefit of riches by saving you? When He sacrificed His Son for you, He did it out of love. See, it's coming back around to you. The same motivation of worship is going back to Him with your life. Display worship, but do it out of love for Him, with a love focus on Him. You can display worship. 2 Timothy says, lift up holy hands to the Lord. Over and over in God's Word, we're told, sing to the Lord. Do it. Celebrate. Adore Him. Just do it out of love for Him without caring whether you impress others. Who cares, right? If you start to detect that kind of thing, then you know your play acting is trying to get in there. It's trying to take over. That's what's happening. But that doesn't mean that you give up and that you quit. Keep on praying. Keep on worshiping. Keep talking about spiritual things. Keep talking about what God's done for you. Even things that you've done where maybe you've told somebody about Jesus. You wanted to let somebody else, hey, yeah, I told somebody Jesus. Let me tell you about how it all happened. You know, just keep checking yourself and telling yourself, this is a godly thing that I'm saying. Because it's all about sharing what's going on in God's kingdom. It's okay. It's biblical. Don't over-scrutinize to where you experience what's called analyzation paralyzation. Did I do that from a right motive? See here, you are God's child, and He's called you to be the one who lives authentic faith, manifested in living life and humble recognition of Him as manifesting the life of Christ. So honor and serve Him biblically in love. It's just, He's the Father. I'm your child, Lord. This is just you and me. That's all it's about. I'm just doing this because I love you. And why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. So you do that and you're on the right track. Amen?